Good morning and welcome to the Dr. Triana Show. This is a live medical talk show in which we encourage you to participate. Our phone lines are wide open right now at 206-1580 or toll free at 888-441-1580. We'd also like you to log on to drtrianashow.com. Once again, that's drtrianashow.com. And you can visit the doctor's website at trianapreventioncenter.com. And now here's your host of the program, Dr. Elizabeth Triana.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Doctor.
Good morning, Zane. Good morning, Dr. Katzen. Let it snow. Let it snow. No, it feels like it's going to snow.
It really does. It's beautiful. This is my favorite time of year.
It's nice and cool outside. Wasn't it beautiful this morning?
Just beautiful.
And a little nippy. You have to wear a little bit of a jacket, a little overcast. Guess what?
What?
It's chicken soup day.
Yay!
Oh, I love chicken soup. You like chicken
too.
Soup?
Yes.
You make the best chicken soup.
Thank you.
Oh, I love chicken soup with matzo balls.
Dr. Katzen, you don't have to go into the recipe or anything, but where did you learn? Did you learn to make it from mom or?
Well, I grew up in the restaurant business.
Okay.
So I'd get up in the morning and go with my dad, and we'd make all the rolls and pastry and salads and get everything ready for the customers to come around 6 or 7 in the morning. So that was middle of the night when we did that work.
Oh, and chicken soup is so good. I love it with lots of carrots and celery, onion. How about you?
I love chicken soup, absolutely. My mom used to make it with the dough noodles.
Ooh.
That's my favorite way. Mine, I make it too, but mine isn't as good as hers was, no matter how hard I try.
My dad would make it with calabaza, which is a Spanish pumpkin too. And the Cubans make the chicken soup with, I guess everybody has their version of like a matzo ball, but with cornmeal, a cornmeal ball. Oh my goodness.
That or dumplings, good. You know. Dumplings.
Yeah, it's like a dumpling. Yeah. Oh my goodness, so delicious.
Dumplings, nachos.
And you know, when it's nice and cold, a nice big bowl of chicken soup, oh, it's so good.
And I know there's no medical evidence that chicken soup cures colds, but boy, I'll tell you, it really seems to work, doesn't it?
It does. It really does. So if anybody wants to give us a call and talk to us about your chicken soup, give us a ring at 206-1580. You know, we're here so everyone can learn more and understand how to get better health. But, you know, we all like to eat good food, too. And that we're going to talk more about today, how good food affects your genes.
Right. And chicken soup is really ethnic penicillin.
Oh, it is. We used to call it Jewish penicillin. I mean, I grew up, you know, whenever I'd get sick, my mom would make some.
Yeah, I love chicken soup.
And we're not Jewish, but our neighbor was, and she taught my mom how to make it. So it was amazing.
Okay, so today we have a lot to go over today, and we're going to start out with what body part am I? So if you want to give us a call at 206-1580, and we've got some very important trending topics, and we have a few Ask Dr. Triana questions. You know, not only are people now emailing me questions, but I get people who stop me on at restaurants or anywhere and ask questions. And so I want to share this with my radio audience.
Sounds like a wonderful idea.
So what body part am I? My cycle is every 28 days. I produce hormones which regulate your cycle. My job also includes the production of the beginning of life. The ovums. What body part am I? And I think I'm giving a little too many clues there, but if you've listened, it's really important. Now I'll give another clue later on. Okay? So we have some questions today. And one of the questions we had today was on Ask Dr. Triana was about, can I use Vaseline as a vaginal lubricant? Now, as you all know, I'm a menopause specialist, and one of the unfortunate problems with menopause is that many times women have vaginal dryness. And so, therefore, that makes having sex uncomfortable and sometimes even painful.
Right.
And it also makes the man not have such a good time.
Right.
So the important thing is vaginal lubrication. So I would say no, the best lubrications are not the Vaseline or petroleum-based lubricants. It is best to use a water-based or a silicone-based lubricant.
Well, the other problem is that the Vaseline, if somebody is using a condom, the Vaseline will might destroy the rubber in the condom, and there may be some untoward unwanted consequences of that.
So we want to stress to you that if you're going to be using vaginal lubrication, you want to use a water base, and there's different brands out there like KY, Astroglide, there's silicone base like Uberlube, and there's some other brands too. There's one called Pink. So basically, you really want to look at what you're buying and using. Now, remember, lubricants only will take care of the problem at that moment, help with the lubrication. If you really have ongoing vaginal dryness, you want to get examined, checked out, and you by your physician or by a menopause specialist as myself, because you want to try to prevent an ongoing problem, because ongoing vaginal dryness can lead to atrophy, which is the tissues in that area of your body will shrink.
And they'll actually change their cell character so that they'll, which in some people, if it goes on long enough, might even start a cancer.
So we really need, if you have vaginal dryness, you need to get examined. And there's medications, either orally, systemically, like that you can take. For example, we use topical estrogens, which can be used also topically in the vagina, or estrogens systemically, such as the patch, to alleviate vaginal dryness. Now, we know that the estrogen, not only is it good for that, it's also good for patients who have osteoporosis, decreased libido, all the different hot flashes, all the different symptoms of menopause. At the Triana Prevention Center, the main thing that we do is we examine the patient, we get a good history and physical, we examine the patient, do a thorough exam, and we also check hormone levels when the woman's in menopause. Based on that, then we can make an action plan or treatment plan to help deal with the symptoms of menopause, which include vaginal dryness. Which the other question I had was emailed to me, Dr. Triana, I've been taking oral estrogen, Premarin, for the last 5 years. Should I be changing? Now, it used to be Premarin is an estrogen that's made from the urine of horses. And it's called a conjugated equine estrogen. It is not bioidentical to your body. In other words, unless you're a horse, you shouldn't be taking Premarin. That is my feeling, because it's not the same estrogen.
Well, and now, also there are many different chemicals in that that form of estrogen. There's something like over 20 different varieties of estrogen in that medicine.
So we know that if you're going to be on hormone therapy, my recommendation is bioidentical. And bioidentical means, as we have said before, it's the same chemical that your body produces. It may be synthetically produced in a lab, but it really is the same chemical that your own body used to produce, which, you know, that what body part am I we talked about? That body part produces estrogen.
That's correct.
So we're giving away another clue. So this is really important.
What's the problem with taking estrogen orally? Even if you take a bioidentical estrogen, is it safe to take orally?
Well, the thing with taking estrogen orally is then you are dealing with what we call the first pass effect. So in other words, your body, you swallow the estrogen. The estrogen gets absorbed and it goes first to your liver. That estrogen affects the production of other proteins in your body. The liver then will manufacture and change the estrogen. And we don't want that first pass effect because it is during that time that chemicals, proteins are made, which can also increase your body's ability to make a blood clot. So we prefer that you use the bioidentical hormone either topically, which means through your skin, or a patch through your skin, or the also hormone pellet therapy.
Well, is there some stimulus to perhaps start a benign tumor or something of that sort from oral estrogen, like fibromas of the liver?
We really prefer that you use the systemic estrogen via topical or not go through the fast.
Well, it's more biological, too, because estrogen is an endocrine, and production of an endocrine organ, and it goes directly into the blood.
So, and now we have another question. A patient wrote in and asked, they had heard in the news about the flu vaccine being not as potent as it should be. And I want to clarify that. There is information that the strain of flu that this vaccine was produced for may not include all the strains necessary. Remember, the flu vaccine that we give is not, we're not giving you a live virus. It is a protein that stimulates your body, stimulates your cells to produce your immune system, to build up your immune system to fight the virus of the flu should you get infected. We are not giving you a virus. It's just stimulating your immune cells to produce.
Right.
And it, even though that this flu vaccine may not cover all the strains, it is still the best defense we have against the flu. So if you have questions, you have any questions, you can call me at 206-1580. We really want you to understand. What is it? Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Right. Well, the thing about the flu vaccine is that the influenza virus is changing all the time. And it takes a while to make a vaccine. So whoever is making that vaccine is anticipating that these several different strains of influenza virus are going to be the ones that people are going to be infected with in the winter. It's somebody's best guess. So they may not be right on the mark with the variety of influenza virus that someone gets. On the other hand, there is some cross-immunity between the various strains of influenza virus and this virus, as this virus changes all the time. And that's why each year a new vaccine is produced for flu.
So that's really important to know. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. You still need to have your flu vaccine. The flu vaccine does not, remember that, does not give you the flu. And it is your best defense against getting the flu. There was a woman who died here in Florida from the flu. People die from the flu.
Oh, children especially.
And
older people.
And older people. So that's really important. We really need to have a defense against the flu.
And also the pneumonia. if you get the pneumococcal pneumonia, if you get pneumococcal pneumonia from the pneumococcal bacteria and you're over 65, there's a very high mortality rate. And so it's really important to have that immunization as well. That immunization is also not a live virus. It doesn't make people terribly sick, and you only need to get an injection once every 5 years.
It's very, very important. And, you know, we do want to be healthy. We want to enjoy our family members during the holidays. We want to be able to have fun, look at all the pretty lights and everything. And life is good. Anyways, so let's get down. We've been speaking about nutrigenomics. And as most doctors are, we're trained, and we're trained to try, originally the training has been to try to take care of the ill and make them better. But now the shift is in medicine is to prevent. And my focus is to prevent. As I tell my patients, why would you want to wait to your car? Because you do preventive maintenance on your car. You get the oil change. Why would you want to wait till you break down on the side of the road and you expose yourself to danger? You could be by yourself. It could be in the nighttime. Why would you expose yourself to that situation? Same thing with medicine. If I can do one little tiny thing to help my patients to prevent a major illness or prevent that illness from becoming so serious, isn't that a wonderful thing that we can do? Isn't that a wonderful situation?
Right. Well, that's the whole idea of what you're trying to do.
Don't you think that that is important, that we should try not throwing a pill at somebody for every problem that they have, or forgetting the fact that lifestyle, nutrition, exercise affects our health?
Yes. Well, sometimes we have to give people medicine too to prevent, like the immunizations we're talking about.
Well, that's not a medicine. A vaccination is not a medicine. That's different. So if we can help, and I'm not saying that medicine isn't good, but if we can do something way before to try to prevent becoming diabetics, heart disease, vascular disease, arthritis, all these, most of these diseases, the basis or the root cause is inflammation. I've had Dr. Amy Donine on the program talking about the root cause of inflammation in our vascular tree, in our arteries, causing that plaque, affecting the plaque, causing heart attack and stroke. The root cause is inflammation.
Right. I think we're living in an era where we're working on inflammatory disease, not only for vascular, but for bones and joints, degenerative neurologic diseases, a lot of people feel maybe have an inflammatory origin.
So if we can get to the point where we can decrease inflammation in your body, and we're not going to wait until you're 90 years old to do that, or even 80 years old, if we can catch this and do it at a younger age, then one of our goals, again, is healthier aging. What is healthier aging? Well, you hear a lot of people talk about a concept called anti-aging. Well, aging is part of it happens at the cellular level, the cells. Last week we spoke about what is a cell. That's the basic unit in our body. And what is a cell made up of? It's made up of a cell membrane. It has mitochondria, which is the powerhouse, produces energy. We have the nucleus where our genes are at that tells, you know, it's the template. It's what's telling those cells what they need to do. We have receptors on our cells, receptors to the good. I call it the good, the bad, and the ugly. Oh boy, what's the good? Well, there's receptors of hormones on our cells that tells those cells, look, you better start producing certain proteins. It turns on that cell. There's also the bad. What is the bad? There's toxins that we have in our environment. Now, I will say the biggest one that's been talked about is called BPAs. Those are in the plastics. We know that there's certain chemicals in plastics. We know that there's chemicals in cigarette smoking. We know that there's chemicals. We've seen it for years now. Pollution in the water, lead, mercury poisoning. We've seen chemicals that affect the air. So how do those chemicals affect our body? They don't just pass by and say, hi, you're sick now. No, they enter our body and they affect our cells and our cells' ability to do their job. So if we can do that, if we can prevent that, or we can help ourselves. Maybe we need to get little flak jackets, you know, for ourselves. So our cells in our body can be out there going, I can fight you. I can heal myself. I can heal you. How many people do I have coming into the office? And they say to me, you know what, Dr. Triana, I just don't feel good. I just, you know, I'm healthy.
Well, our body tries to... Our body actually makes antioxidants, and we can supplement those antioxidants
and
or turn them on.
And we're going to talk about that.
And those, that is the flak jacket that you're talking about.
But how many people come in and say, I am fatigued? Now, we all know that right now also one of the environmental causes of fatigue is holiday stress. Everyone gets, you know, oh, I've got to cook, I've got to worry about decoration, I'm worrying about this. We need to try to look at the holidays with more joy and pleasure.
Right. Well,
and
we could
beauty.
Do away with the holidays and do away with the stress, but I don't think anybody wants to do that.
No, we don't want to do that. We want to have the joy, the pleasure, and I'm saying, you said you've been working with Christmas trees.
Well, yes, I have. I work for the Home Depot in Northport, Florida. And every year we put up a huge tree tent. And one of my jobs as a garden associate there is to trim Christmas trees for people that want to buy them. And they come in all sizes from 6 feet all the way up to 11 feet tall.
11 feet
to 10 and 11s, yes.
Wow.
And they are beautiful. And basically what we do is we leave a 6-inch space at the bottom for the Christmas tree stand. So if there's any branches there at the bottom, you cut those off. And then we take a chainsaw and just cut off about 1/4 inch off the bottom so that the tree will take in water.
The nutrients, the water.
Through capillary action,
that's
I might add.
That's very, very important. I love Christmas trees. They're beautiful, but I found out that I was allergic.
Oh, no.
Because I have asthma, unfortunately. And it smells wonderful, but every year I kept getting sick.
There's a solution now. You can, on your artificial tree, they have special sticks that you can hang on the tree that make that artificial tree smell like a real pine tree.
Really?
If you like that. Yes, they have them now.
Oh, my goodness.
So you can have that Christmas experience without all the allergens now.
Oh, wow. That's really good. But wow. It's so beautiful. I love seeing everything all decorated. We went to a meeting yesterday in Sarasota, and the shopping mall up there, I had never been there. It's called University Town Center. And all the royal palms were lit up.
Yeah, hundreds of royal palms.
Beautiful wow. royal palms. Wow. And that's one of my favorite. I love royal palms.
Me too.
And
the pygmy date palm, too, I love.
And they had them, too. They had those two all lit up. They were so beautiful.
Beautiful, beautiful mall. And it's really surprising to see that it's in Sarasota. It's the sort of thing you'd expect to see something in a much larger city like maybe Orlando or Miami.
But around here, too, people, you know, are decorating the lights. It's so pretty. It feels good, and I love music. I like Christmas music and regular music that we play. We play that in our office. We're already decorated. in the office.
I remember one year I went out to, what's the little island off of Sarasota? That little,
Siesta where you go over Key? The... Siesta Key?
No, not that one. There, I'm trying
Casey
to think
Key.
Of...
Longboat?
It's where the Columbia restaurant is. There's an area.
Oh, St. Armand's.
St. Armand's Circle. I love, once a year I go out to the Columbia restaurant to have paella.
Oh.
Because I love it. It's wonderful there. But that is beautiful at Christmas time too, all those little shops. And they have a shop there that has the best fudge that you will ever have. I mean, it's so good.
Oh my gosh. All those carbs, sugar, sweet.
But they have these little, they have a store that I need to go to too, because I love hot sauce. I love the hotter, the better. And they've got such a selection of hot sauces there.
Oh,
it's amazing,
boy. Which
is great on paella.
Well, we're going to go ahead and take our break. And we have so much more to speak about nutrigenomics. Hi, this is Dr. Triana from the Dr. Triana Show. So you'd like to feel younger? We cannot turn back the clock, but I can help you age better. The process is simple. After a thorough medical evaluation, including measuring your hormones, and with diet and exercise, we can balance your hormones so you can feel more vital. Call me at the Triana Prevention Center, 941-625-1990, or listen to me on WCCF AM.
You're listening to the Dr. Triana Show here on News Radio 1580 WCCF. If you'd like to take part in the discussion this morning, call us at 206-1580. Once again, that's 206-1580 or toll free at 888-441-1580. We encourage you to go to Dr. Triana's website, TrianaPreventionCenter.com. That's TrianaPreventionCenter.com. Also, there's an archive at DrTrianaShow.com where you can catch up on this show or previous shows. So once again, that's DrTrianaShow.com. Dr. Triana is taking new patients currently, and we'll ask the doctor to give her phone number out in just a little bit. In the meantime, let's go back to Dr. Triana and Dr. Katzen.
Okay, well, we haven't anybody called about what body part am I. I'm going to say it again. I'm going to give a little more clues. All right, what body part am I? And you can call us at 206-1580. I had a patient this week, and he said, oh, I just love your show. And I said, well, have you ever called? And he said, yes, for the what body part am I? And he said, I thought I was going to win a prize. I said, well, I think the prize is the pleasure in knowing the information. That's your prize, the knowledge. And I said, well, do you think I should have a prize? And he said, no, I think you're right. So the pleasure of knowing. And that's one of my pleasures, is learning. And my pleasures also is helping every one of you who are listening to understand more about your body, about your health. Now, what body part am I? My cycle is every 28 days. I produce hormones which regulate your cycle. My job also includes productions of the beginning of life, and those are the ovums or the eggs. So, what body part am I? Yes, another clue, I am in women. So what body part am I? Give us a ring here at 206-1580. Going back to, we got a caller. Hi, caller. What's your name?
Hi, it's Dorothy, Dr. Triana.
Hi, Dorothy. How you doing?
Okay, how are you?
Good. What's your answer?
I'm going to take a guess. Is it the ovaries?
Yay! You got it, Dorothy.
Oh, good.
Thank you so much. I hope you enjoy the show.
I do. I love it.
Thank you so much, Dorothy. You have a wonderful holiday. Okay. So we got a caller. Great.
Well, that's great.
That's really good. The ovaries. Boy, those little things are important. How big are the ovaries?
Oh, they're about an inch.
Okay.
An inch by a half, three quarters of an inch.
They pack a big punch.
That's for sure.
They're little factories there. Okay, so we're going back to nutrigenomics. How do food nutrients interact with our genes, which is genomics? Hello, caller.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
Morning, what's doctors.
What's your first name?
My other half, she had a full hysterectomy about 12 years ago, and after that she tried a couple natural things for estrogen replacement, but wasn't satisfied, so she decided not to have any estrogen replacement whatsoever. It's been about 12 years now, and she's still having a lot of hot flashes and a lot of problems with it. Is that regular? I mean, is that...
Well,
is that what happens?
Yes. Let me explain. And what's your first name?
My name is Bill.
Bill. Yes. Actually, women can have hot flashes for up to 40 years after the menopause. Now, when you say a hysterectomy, I need to clarify, a hysterectomy means you remove the uterus. I know people commonly call a total hysterectomy as removing the ovaries and the fallopian tubes. But the really scientific is hysterectomy with oophorectomy. But if you no longer have your ovaries, as that was the what body part am I, then the ovaries are no longer producing estrogen or testosterone, which is very important. So your wife needs to get checked out. She needs to have hormone levels, because it sounds to me like it's affecting her life and her lifestyle.
Yes, it has.
One of the
that pretty much answers my question for me. Thank you very much for your advice, and I'll finish listening to you on the radio.
I appreciate that. Thank you. One of the issues is, even if it's been more than 5 or 10 years, as this gentleman was talking about, his wife had her hysterectomy, she's still having symptoms. There is help out there, and I can help her if she would like, or I can also have her go to my website, and she can get more information about what can be done.
Right, right.
So I think that's really important. You don't have to suffer. Now, one of the biggest things about the hot flashes is it is very disruptive to sleep. We know now that sleep is very important for both men and women. So if you don't sleep good, that affects your hormones. That affects your risk of getting heart disease, vascular disease, even developing diabetes.
Because it is a form of stress, too.
Yes. When you can't sleep at night, that's very important. So it isn't just about the hot flashes. It's about sleep. It's about your bones. It's about, there's so much protection that the hormones do to our bodies. They protect our bodies. They help keep us healthier. So it's very important that we balance our hormones. Now, going back to the cellular level, we're talking about detoxification of unwanted chemicals, substances which are essential for all the functions of our cells. Now, we know that there's a lot of, we just spoke about this, additives in our food, in our environment, chemicals, toxins that cause inflammation. We don't live in a bubble. And it is because of that is that we need to help ourselves to heal better.
Right.
So food is more than just building blocks. It talks to our genes. So the foundation of any healthy lifestyle, and as I tell patients, and I'll be talking about supplements, there is no supplement on this earth. There is no medication that I can give to any person and say, eat whatever you want, smoke whatever you want, drink as much alcohol as you want. It just does not exist.
Right.
So I think that's really important. Now, we know that your genes are it's like a light switch. So you come to your house, you walk in the door, you have a switch, you turn it on. Think of it as your Christmas tree. You have 200 bulbs on your Christmas tree. You walk in, it's dark. You switch on the light, they all light up. That's pretty neat, isn't it? Well, there's proteins in our body, a protein that our cells make that's called NRF2. Wow, that's pretty cool. A protein that switches our cells' defense system. that little flak jacket.
Right.
That protein, NRF2, wow, nature's releasing factor. That's not really what it's called, but NRF2 is very important for our defense system. So we want to activate ourselves to produce this protein to protect themselves, to help the cells protect themselves. We know there is a chemical in food, specifically broccoli sprouts, called sulforaphane that stimulates that NRF2. Now, this is also found in other vegetables. We call that the brassica family. They're cruciferous vegetables. Cabbage, broccoli, Brussels sprouts, wasabi, watercress. I love all those vegetables.
And other kinds of lettuce as well.
So these are the main vegetables. Now, why do we want to turn on our cells' defense system? Because we want to fight inflammation. And what is the chemical that promotes inflammation? There's a gene called the NFKB gene, and that protein is produced. Now, inflammation is good for certain times of your body and certain times. When you sprain your ankle, your body, that part of your body becomes inflamed and your body tries to rally and fight the inflammation and protect that area that you hurt. When you get an infection, you will see inflammation also. Redness, hardness, all, for example, if you get a bug bite.
Right. And the body's trying to protect itself and heal.
So that part is good. But we don't want to have chronic inflammation, because chronic inflammation is the root cause of vascular disease, arthritis, kidney disease. Kidney disease, the kidneys become inflamed also. Now, we know, for example, for arthritis, a lot of people will take a medicine called an NSAID, a non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drug. Well, what is that? Those are like the Aleves, the Advil, ibuprofen, the aspirin, Celebrex. Those are non-steroidals. The steroidal drugs are like the prednisone or the methylprednisolone. Those are the ones that are steroids. We know that these medications can also cause some side effects. So if we're trying to promote anti-inflammation or decrease inflammation, why not start at the level of the cell? Why wait till it gets throughout your whole body? What we need to do is the NFKB, what does it do? It's a protein in the cell. It gets turned on. It affects the nucleus. The nucleus, remember, is where the genes are. And the genes then go, oh, I'm going to produce these inflammatory cytokines. These chemicals cause inflammation throughout our whole body. And we know that inflammation is the root cause. Now, I'm going to give out our phone number again, 206-1580. If you have a question about our topics today, did you know how important it is that your nutrition can affect your genes and help you for a more healthier aging?
Right. Most people can't imagine that just what they put in their mouth affects their genetic activity.
So don't we want to switch on the important genes that decrease the inflammation? So that's where the nutrigenomics come in. Now, we spoke about free radicals. I'm going to just go over that because that's very important to understand. Those free radicals are molecules or atoms that are not balanced. Now, this is really important. You'll hear about this also. They call it reactive oxygen or also reactive nitrogen. Now, one of the problems with diabetes is there's too much sugar in your blood. So it affects the cells. The cells then have all these free radicals available, which then are produced, and we have more inflammation. We know that diabetics are in an inflammatory state.
Right.
And we know that antioxidants neutralize free radicals.
And the body does produce its own antioxidants as well.
Right. And that's why this is
much more than we can even take in pill form.
So why is the body producing antioxidants? And hello, caller. Hello, caller?
Yes. Hello?
Yes. Hi, caller. What's your first name? This is Dr. Triana speaking.
Yes. What exactly is rDNA origin insulin?
Oh, okay. You're talking about insulin that's been formed from the you're talking about the insulin that's been formed from DNA of humans.
Like the Lantis Solastar.
Okay.
I'll take my answer off the radio.
Okay, thank you so much. Well, they can use now the DNA and put it in certain cells to produce certain chemicals like insulin. Remember, insulin is actually a hormone.
Right. And it's produced by the special cells in the pancreas that go directly, and this production goes directly into the blood.
Right.
Like
so,
any other endocrine organ.
So these chemically produced insulins are using that as a template. Now, remember again that insulin is a hormone, and the importance of insulin is that it acts as a key to open the door of your cells to let blood sugar go into the cell so that the cell can use it for energy. That's why it's very important that we can't live without insulin. Either our bodies produce it in the pancreas, or we take insulin.
Was that our DNA? Insulin is a genetically engineered bacteria that produce it?
Yes. So, but we'll... that's one of the important things about insulin that you need to know. And it's very important that when you are taking insulin, that you know and you do self-blood glucose monitoring so you know how much insulin you need to take.
Right.
It's very important to know also the way that diet affects the level of blood sugar in your blood.
And also, if your blood sugar gets high, there's no way that your body can use that sugar. That excess sugar creates a problem rather than converted to energy.
Well, that's why the importance of antioxidants is that we want to neutralize these free radicals. These free radicals, they run around and they do damage to our cells. So if we can have your cell produce antioxidants, now you'll hear also what's called oxidative stress. What is that? Well, the cell can't take it anymore. So much oxidative stress, the cell cannot neutralize the free radicals. And this elevation of free radicals becomes critical and affects the function, the basic function of the cell. So what is the basics of the cell? It affects the mitochondria that produces energy. It affects the membrane, and it affects those key enzymes in your cell that are promoting good chemical reactions. And it's affecting the DNA in your cells. So I think that's really important. We're really getting down to the nitty gritty.
And that's why I think the body cells in the body produce a significant amount of antioxidants.
And remember,
for their own survival and benefit.
And there is a nutrient that will kick in these cells. It's called sulforaphane, which we're going to talk about, comes from the broccoli sprout powder. And we're going to talk about a supplement that's very important. Now, these antioxidants then affect the cells. For example, the mitochondria that produce energy. Well, if the mitochondria produce energy and it can't do it, we become fatigued. We also know that there's different types of antioxidants. There's a superoxide dismutase, which is also commonly called SOD. Now, I think that's important to know. There's also a glutathione peroxidase and a catalase. These are all antioxidants. And there's also antioxidant enzymes. Now, when you go to stores or health food stores, they'll give you a what's called an ORAC, O-R-A-C value. And what is an ORAC value? That's the ability of, and now this is a test tube measurement, which is why it is not the best thing on earth, because, excuse me, I am not a test tube. Are you a test tube?
No.
I am not a test tube.
Sometimes we are.
But sometimes we are, but we're humans, and our bodies have many cells. So the ORAC value is a test tube measurement. It's the oxygen radical absorption capacity. That's what the ORAC value is. A test tube measurement determining a food's ability to quench free radicals. So I don't want to get down so people go, oh my gosh, biochemistry, let me fall asleep here. No, it's really important to understand these buzzwords. What is an ORAC value? Well, we also know it's used by food marketers to try to give a little more hype to their food. We also know another term that's very important is called bioavailability. What does that mean? That's the percentage of a supplement taken by mouth which appears in the bloodstream. So if you take any medicine or supplement and nothing gets absorbed and goes into your bloodstream, and the target of that medicine or supplement is in your body and it's not getting any information, it's not bioavailable, then why are you taking it? Seems like a waste.
Right.
Which leads me to a question. A lot of supplement companies, they will claim that the liquid form of this particular supplement, vitamin or whatever, is more easily absorbed by the body than taking it in a pill form. What do you think of that?
It depends on what the supplement is. Okay. For example, what we're going to be talking about today, the defense cell, which actually I have always felt that the cornerstone is diet and exercise. But I have myself for many years have not been good about taking supplements. I forget. So I am making an effort. And after all the research that I've been doing with this supplement that's made from broccoli sprout. And why is this one so important? Because it is the broccoli sprout powder that has the enzyme that breaks down to produce tocopherolfane, which is going to stimulate your cells to protect your cells. Now, can I get it from broccoli? I think you'd have to eat like 4 pounds of broccoli a day to get the function of these four tablets. It's actually 2 tablets twice a day. So, and I have been recommending this supplement to my patients. It's called Defense Cell. It's made by Cell Logic. Now, why am I recommending it? Because I met the nutritional biochemist, Christine Houghton from Australia, who has worked in formulating this supplement. And I truly believe with all the research, she has research, it's based in science, how this very strong component, sulforaphane, stimulates the cells to help protect them. Now, does a supplement that I give to someone or recommend, again, is that going to be a license to say to somebody, hey, eat whatever you want, drink whatever you want, smoke whatever you want? No, it doesn't work that way. There is no magic wand.
Right. And there's no supplement that you can take enough of to do that.
No, you can't.
And the body actually the body is making antioxidants to a much greater degree than any kind of supplement you can take by mouth. And to answer your question about liquid versus solid, well, some liquids, it's true. Some liquids are absorbed right through the stomach. But many of these supplements are soluble so that they dissolve. Once you swallow them, the capsule or whatever gets dissolved in whatever the juices are produced by your stomach and small intestine. And once that happens, they're liquid too. Now, some vitamins and like vitamin B12 cannot be absorbed, and they must be administered directly into the blood. So what kind of supplements you can use for that, what kind of vehicle you can use for that is spray under the tongue, so that you keep these things in your mouth and they really absorb from your mouth right into your bloodstream.
Sublingual.
Because, yeah. And if you, just like nitroglycerin or whatever, but if you swallow that, it will not have any therapeutic effect at all.
So I want to stress to everyone that there is a pyramid. At the top is the most potent antioxidants. We know that other antioxidants, which are like vitamin E, C, are very important. But part of the importance isn't just as an antioxidant. Those are very important for other functions in our cells. Now, we know that there's polyphenols that are in plants, like green tea. But these molecules are really big. So it's hard for the cell to get those big molecules inside the cell. They do help. That is why it is so important to understand the biochemistry of how the sulforaphane affects your cells and produces the antioxidants. Now, I will tell everyone that at my office, at the Triana Prevention Center, we do have the Endura Cell and Defense Cell there. If you're interested, it is available there. We are selling it. I myself am taking the supplement, and I even open the bottle and show it to my patients and say, whoa, they can smell it. It smells like broccoli. And it's green. It's these green inside green tablets. And it's very important that everyone understand there is no magic wand. But if we can do something to boost ourselves, then let's go ahead and do that. So this is Dr. Triana. Thank you, Dr. Katzen. Thank you, Zane. This is the Dr. Triana Show. Listen in every Friday from 11 to 12. And stay healthy and God bless.